The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome. It is Verdict with Senator Ted Cruz, Ben Ferguson with you, and this show is going to deal a lot with the insanity of the woke movement. A university program is now linking Christians and Republicans to Nazis, and your tax dollars are helping pay for that. Plus, a very interesting debate at colleges and a scene that has now been deleted that we're supposed to all say we're sorry it was ever made. Senator, great to be with you. And I want to first talk about this university program. It's costing American taxpayer dollars. A grant through the Department of Homeland Security is now linking, quote, Christians and Republicans to Nazis.
Well, sadly, that's exactly right. The Department of Homeland Security has a program called the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant Program, which gives funds to, quote, establish or enhance capabilities to prevent targeted violence and terrorism. So you might think, okay, this is going after Al-Qaeda, this is going after jihadists, this is going after, you know, maybe it's going after Klansmen, maybe it's going after Antifa, it's going after people who engage in acts of violence and terrorism. Well, you would be wrong. The Biden administration has awarded 80 grants through this program, totaling just under $40 million. The lowest grant was for $85,000. The highest was just over $1.1 million. And one of the grantees who got $352,109 was Prevents Ohio program to, quote, draw on the expertise of the University of Dayton faculty to fight domestic violence, extremism, and hate movements. And the university's grant application linked to a controversial Dayton conference where an academic researcher presented a chart that is entitled The Pyramid of Far-Right Radicalizations. Now, what are the organizations and movements displayed on the pyramid? One is the Republican Party. Another, the Heritage Foundation. Another, the American Conservative Union. Another, Fox News. Another, Breitbart News. Another, the National Rifle Association. Another, Prager University. Another, the Tea Party Patriots. Another, the Make America Great Again movement. Another, the pro-police Blue Lives Matter movement. And another, the Christian Broadcasting Network.
Wow.
Now, all of those right of center, very mainstream organizations, what does the pyramid link them to? Hate groups like the Base, which is a neo-Nazi paramilitary group, and the Daily Stormer, which is a pro-Nazi publication. The application from the University of Dayton linked to a video of the conference describing it as showing the university's work, quote, to assess regional needs and capacities for violent extremism prevention. One of the speakers at the conference, a researcher at the University of Cincinnati called Michael Loadenthal, presented the Pyramid of Far-Right Radicalization, said it was an accurate description of the modern far-right. And if you look at this particular individual, he is an extreme individual. If you look at his background, this lecturer, Loadenthal, who at the time described himself as a medical worker who provided abortion services. So he's an abortion provider. He's frequently retweeted Antifa accounts and defends left-wing violence on social media. That's one of the guys presenting. So who else is presenting at this organization? Well, there are other extremists, such as a fellow named Alexander Hinton. He is a professor at Rutgers University who specializes in genocide. And at the conference, he compared the Trump administration to the Khmer Rouge. The Khmer Rouge, for Pol Pot, killed an estimated 1.5 million to 2 million people in Cambodia. The last I checked, the Trump administration didn't have death camps. And the last I checked, the left actually likes communist death camps. But another speaker, a woman named Nicole Wittersheim, deputy Washington director for Human Rights Watch, compared Florida Governor Ron DeSantis proposing a volunteer civilian military force to assist the National Guard in emergencies such as hurricanes to the Holocaust that the Nazis carried out in World War II. These are the radicals who are being funded by the Joe Biden Department of Homeland Security.
Now, Senator, to be clear for everyone that's listening, if a private group wants to do this, there's many private groups that do this all the time, that's one thing. It's completely different when you're taking federal dollars, tax dollars that are now going to this type of hateful propaganda and advocating for things that are just clearly not true. How are they getting away with this?
Well, okay, so their defense is they say, actually, the seminar with all these radical speakers, that seminar itself was not funded by the Department of Homeland Security. Instead, the organization that put on the seminar got funds later from DHS and pointed to the seminar as an example of the great work they do. And the Biden DHS said, oh, that sounds great to us, and was happy to spend your and my tax dollars supporting a group that apparently sees no difference between the RNC, between the Heritage Foundation, between Fox News and Nazis, an organization that sees no difference between genocidal, murderous communists in the Khmer Rouge and the Trump administration. That is, it's the latest example of the Biden administration being more than happy to weaponize the federal government, to use the powers of the federal government to target you, to pay people who view you. I'm willing to bet that a fair number of the listeners of this pod, and by the way, I got to say, Ben, I'm a little disappointed that they listed the NRA and Fox News and the RNC, and apparently Verdict didn't make the list. I mean, heck, I actually feel if they're listing what they think is evil in the world, we got to work a little bit harder because we haven't apparently reached the level of evil that these lunatics ascribe to places like Breitbart.
Well, it's because they haven't officially named you as our Verdict as a terrorist group, right? I mean, that's how you hide these money, these dollars. The Biden administration doling out these tax dollars to quote, anti-terrorism grant initiatives. And that's part of how, by the way, they disguise it. They say, well, who would be against giving tax dollars to anti-terrorism grant initiatives, to a university program that is doing that? That's how you justify. And I think there's so many people that just assume if you name it something like that, right, we're going to give a lot of tax dollars to anti-terrorism grant initiative. Most Americans, if you heard that, would say, well, of course I'm in favor of that. Of course I'm in favor of using our tax dollars for anti-terrorism initiatives. That is not what they're doing here at this university program.
It is not. They are engaged in propaganda, and the propaganda is saying that anyone right of center is a terrorist. Anyone right of center is a Nazi. Anyone right of center is a Klansman. It is the vicious lie that the radical left pushes often. But it is not. Look, if they want to say that, that's fine. But why is the government funding this? They're funding it because they want to give fuel to the fire attacking those they view as enemies of the regime.
I want to talk about the money, because the next question people are going to ask, Senator, is, all right, well, how much money are we talking about here that's being abused in this way? And before we get into that, let me tell you about our friends over at Chalk. If you're a guy and you're ready to fight back, you are sick and tired of that feeling of just fatigue, of feeling tired, and you understand, yeah, something's changed. I don't know what's going on, but I want to get back to feeling like myself again. That is where Chalk comes in. You're not alone, by the way. Testosterone levels have dropped off a cliff historically to an all-time low. And that's exactly why Chalk is here to help real American men take back their strength and vitality. ChalkCHOQ.com. I've been taking the Male Vitality Stack, and what it does, it can help you boost your testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. What does that mean? It means getting back your strength and vitality. And this, the other great thing is it is made right here, manufactured right here in the US of A. Chalk and their natural herbal supplements are clinically proven to have game-changing effects on your energy, your focus, your mood. Go to ChalkCHOQ.com. And use the promo code BEN for 35% off any Chalk subscription for life. That's choq.com. Check out the Male Vitality Stack, choq.com. Promo code BEN for 35% off. Senator, let's talk quickly about the financial side of this. The Biden administration, we now know, has awarded these 80 grants through this group, this TVTP, totaling just under $40 million. Now, the lowest grant, we've been told, was for $85,000. The highest was for over $1.1 million. And the median was about $442,000. Now, these grant recipients are, quote, prohibited from engaging in viewpoint discrimination, according to DHS. Well, if that is the standard, then I think it's pretty obvious that they are in violation of that, quote, standard right away here.
Look, I think that's exactly right. This particular organization, Prevents Ohio Program, got $352,000. And given the history of this program, given that they're pointing to this radical conference as evidence of the kind of work they do, I have no confidence that any acts of violence will be prevented by this organization, that any terrorism will be prevented by this organization. In fact, I have no confidence that this group will even admit who is in fact a terrorist organization. If you're identifying the Heritage Foundation, listen, you and I have both been to Heritage. Heritage has a building a couple of blocks from Capitol Hill. It's this big building with lots of scholarly academic folks typically sitting in cubicles with very thick glasses, writing very dense white papers. And about the only act of violence you might get from a Heritage Foundation scholar is you might get a paper cut from picking up their white paper. But they are not firebombing cities. They are not looting stores. They are not blowing places up. They're not doing the sorts of things, actually, that the radical left, that Antifa is doing. But of course, this organization would never target Antifa because, and look, we've talked about this quite a lot, that the distressing reality is this Biden administration, I believe, is perfectly fine with political violence if it serves their partisan interest. It's why, to this date, Merrick Garland has not prosecuted a single individual breaking the law by protesting in front of Supreme Court justices' homes night after night after night, because he supports that lawlessness, and the administration doesn't care if it's directly contrary to federal law.
Now that we know how this money is being spent, Senator, is there any way that the House could look into this spending and hold Department of Homeland Security accountable for clearly abusing these funds?
Absolutely, and I hope the House holds hearings on this. The Senate should as well, but Senate Democrats don't care, so that they're not going to hold hearings on this because they're perfectly fine with the money being spent in this way. But the House ought to have hearings on this, and I very much hope they do.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step, and you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to move on to another issue that actually is connected to this woke agenda even more. You are now calling out debate coaches who actually have banned students from saying the words illegal immigrants. One coach told students that if they use the term illegal, quote unquote, to describe an immigrant, then he will give you, quote, a stern lecture and dock points from your team. Debate is something, by the way, that I did in high school. Loved it. You did it in high school, I'm sure. I'm guessing, but I feel very confident you did. And you obviously did debate, I'm sure, in college and then mock trial and things like that. The idea that you can't have a real debate and these coaches are saying we're going to force you into certain words and terminology. You want to talk about a freedom of speech problem, in my opinion. This is it.
Well, I will say, Ben, that's actually a wager you would have lost.
I lost. Wow.
You would have lost that. I wanted to do debate in high school, but I went to a little bitty school in Houston, Second Baptist High School, which you're well familiar with it. And at the time, my graduating class was 43 and the school was too small. It didn't have a debate team. So I was, if there's anything geekier than a high school debater, it's a high school debater wannabe. which is what I was. And so, I didn't get to hang around, you know, cool varsity tennis players like Ben Ferguson. But when I went to college, I managed to achieve my aspirations and I became a college debater. And I spent almost every weekend all 4 years at Princeton doing college debate and loved it and learned an enormous amount from it. And there's an article that came out just a week ago, and it's an article in the Free Press by an individual named James Fishback, and it's entitled, "At High School Debates, Debate is No Longer Allowed." And it talks about an amazing thing going on where there are now debate judges that are debating that are judging college debate in NSDA, which is one of the college debate tournaments, not the one I competed on, but it's another one that's heavily on the West Coast. And he goes through the profiles from a number of judges and what they describe. So one judge is someone named Lila Lavender, who was national debate champion in 2019 according to the bio of Lila Lavender, it says, quote, "Before anything else, including being a debate judge, I am a Marxist, Leninist, Maoist. I cannot check the revolutionary proletarian science at the door when I'm judging. I will no longer evaluate and thus never vote for rightist, capitalist, imperialist positions, arguments. Examples of arguments of this nature are as follows. Fascism good, capitalism good, imperialist war good, neoliberalism good, defenses of the U.S. or otherwise bourgeois nationalism, Zionism, or normalizing Israel, colonialism good, U.S. white fascist policing good, etc. That is astonishing, by the way. There's another judge whose bio says, a judge named Shubham Gupta, and his bio reads, quote, "If you are discussing immigrants in a round and describe the person as, quote, illegal, I will immediately stop the round, give you the loss with low speaker points, give you a stern lecture, and then talk to your coach. I will not have you making the debate space unsafe." Well, Mr. Gupta, let me tell you something. The word illegal alien is in federal law. It is United States law, and the fact that you are a little Marxist doesn't change reality. Another judge, Judge Christy Sharma, writes a list of quote, things that will cause you to automatically lose. Number three is referring to immigrants as illegal. So I want you to think of this lavender person who describes themselves as a Marxist-Leninist Maoist. Now it is apparently the standard, at least with these judges in college debate, that unless you argue for communism, you will lose. That's not debate. That is indoctrination. That is repeating Pravda. And I got to say, look, I'm someone who, as a debater, I learned an enormous amount. And by the way, I had to debate lots of positions I didn't agree with. In many ways, you learn more debating a proposition you disagree with than you learn debating something you agree strongly with. I'll tell you one of my favorite stories. So my debate partner in college was a guy named David Panton, and he was my college roommate, my law school roommate. Other than Heidi, he's my closest friend on planet Earth. You've met David.
Yeah, great.
In fact, we played tennis and pickleball together. He's a great guy. David and I, we were debate partners, and we got tired about, in debate, people whining and complaining about whatever case it was you ran. And they would complain, oh, it's unfair, the case is a truism, it's tautology. And they'd spend the entire debate round whining that it was unfair to debate whatever it was that you were proposing. And so we came up with a way to avoid that. And what we would do at just about every single case where we were the affirmative, where we were presenting a case, is we'd give the opposing team the option of which side to take. So I'd stand up and present the initial speech in the debate round, and I'd say, you know, all right, let's take one of the issues that is apparently no longer allowed. Capitalism is the most effective economic system ever to exist on planet Earth. And I'd turn to the other side and say, yes or no, which side do you take? And if they'd pick, all the whining disappeared from the round, because once they picked, they couldn't complain, gosh, it's unfair the side I picked, because you morons picked that side. And if they refused to pick, I'd typically flip a coin, take one side, but even that eliminated the whining. I mention that because there was one round in particular. So senior year, towards the end of senior year, David and I competed at what was called a hybrid tournament. Now, hybrid tournament was, you teamed up with a debater from another school, and the rules were that if you made a final round in a tournament, you qualified for the national tournament. And so David and I had both qualified for Nats at that point, and we decided we'd go to hybrid. We'd go to the hybrid tournament and team up with other folks. And so I teamed up with a guy from University of Maryland, Baltimore County, named Slash Kendig. Slash was a fantastic debater. He had long hair and a beard. He had a leather jacket with, I think, 37 razor blades on it. One, he said, for every woman that had broken up with him and cut his heart. Slash and I
that
were
sounds
from
like the guy you don't want to go up against
spots.
In debate, right? Like that, yeah, that's the guy you don't want to go up in debate against.
Yeah, look, he was like a, you know, biker outlaw was the sort of image he portrayed, and I was a pretty buttoned up, you know, Princeton guy. And so we debated together, and we called ourselves Armageddon A, because it was sort of such a bizarre combination. We were friends and got along very well, but he was very far left and I was very conservative. And we ended up in the fifth round, which was the final closed round of the tournament, hitting my normal debate partner, David Panton, who's Jamaican. He's from Jamaica. He's not American. He's Jamaican. And I decided to run a case. The United States is or is not the greatest country in the history of the universe. And I turned to David, who's leading the opposition. And by the way, Slash, who was my partner, thought the case was a falsism. He thought there was no way on earth you could make the argument that America is the greatest country in the history of the world. I thought it was a truism. I thought it was indisputably true. I get up a minute into the speech, I turn to David and say, which side would you take? And David, grinning ear to ear, says, we will take that it is. And he made me argue that America is not the greatest country in the history of the world. Now, you got to understand, David is Jamaican. He's not American.
Yeah.
But he knew that I believed that case with every molecule in my body. And I'm proud to tell you, David whipped my ass.
That's awesome.
I couldn't effectively make the case that America's not the greatest country in the history of the world. And so Slash and I lost the round badly. But I mention that to say, in apparently today's college debate, what David and I did would no longer be allowed because these radical Marxist, Leninist, Maoist judges who apparently don't care about debate, they don't actually believe debate matters, that judge would sit there and go, oh, you said America's not the greatest country, you win. Doesn't matter. You could sit there and whistle, you can just read the phone book, doesn't matter what you do, you win because I'm a Marxist and I agree with your position. That is so destructive to the very essence of debate, and it's destroying what is an incredible teaching experience for college kids. I got to admit, this story has me horrified.
It's an indoctrination aspect of this as well, right? You can play and do this as long as you say, and we indoctrinate you to believe a certain point. When I was in high school, I had a debate. And I remember this, and it was like a very weird moment for me. And the debate coach was amazing, and he said, "All right, one of you is going to take the side that that it is right to ban the burning of the American flag, and the other is going to, you know, obviously take the opposite." And I had to argue both sides once in one round, and the other on the other round. And it taught me so much, though, about learning what the other side says, what the other side believes, why they believe it, and it gave me an incredible amount of training for doing what I do today. When you go on TV and when you're talking about tough issues and we're debating grand ideas, but I cannot imagine having a debate coach that says, "Hey, you can say whatever you want to say as long as it's what I believe you should indoctrinate to believe, and then you can only argue that."
Yeah, I have to admit, like I read about the knucklehead coach who said, if you say the word illegal alien, I'll end the round, score you as losing and give you a very low point, and then lecture you. I got to admit, if that coach said that to me at 18, I would have taken his head off. I mean, we would have had a screen. He wanted a debate. We would have had a debate right there because I would have said some four-letter words that would have been memorable.
No doubt about it. I want to move to something else that deals with this type of insanity as well. There is that time of year, it's graduation time. You've got people graduating from school, from law school, from pretty much everything. And there is something shocking that happened at the City University of New York. I want to get into that in a moment, but first I want to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile. If you are just sick and tired of giving your money to companies that cannot stand your values, we're talking about things like Target and Bud Light, well, there is a way you can start putting your money with companies now. Companies that believe what you believe in and fight for what you believe in. Right now, that is with 99% of us, a cell phone we have. Now, for years, big mobile companies have been dumping millions and millions and millions of dollars into leftist causes, and we had to take it because there was not another option. It didn't exist. Well, now it does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Not only do they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda that's been pushed by leftists working hard to destroy this country. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're not only putting your money where your mouth is, but every time you pay your bill, you're actually supporting free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military, our veterans, our first responders, they are giving back. Yeah, Patriot Mobile takes a portion of your bill at no extra cost to you every month. They give them back to these causes. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service team, so you know you're working with a company that cares about American jobs as well. Go to patriotmobile.com/verdict. That's patriotmobile.com/verdict or call them. You'll get free activation. Switching is easy. You even can keep your same cell phone number you have now, or you can get a new one if you want to. Keep your same cell phone or get a new one if you want to. Patriot Mobile, 878-PATRIOT. That's 878-PATRIOT. 878-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/verdict. Make sure you use the promo code VERDICT. Senator, this one you sent, and I want you to explain, people, to everybody, the City University of New York, they had a speaker that not only was anti-Semitic, but was enthusiastically celebrating anti-Semitism in New York. This was a speaker that should have been stopped, in my opinion, should have never been able to do this in the first place. But here we are watching at a law school and again, paid for with tax dollars, this type of anti-Semitism being sanctioned by, quote, higher education.
Well, this woman was the class day speaker at the graduation of the law school of City University of New York. And she is from Yemen. And grew up in the Bronx, and she is a hard leftist. And the speech she gave was virulently anti-Israel, was slandering Israel with lies. She was reveling in anti-Semitism in a way that there really is no other bigotry that would be as welcome at a college graduation as anti-Semitism. She also, by the way, enthusiastically cheerleads open borders and releasing violent criminals from jail, and she refers to police officers as the, quote, fascist NYPD. And so give a listen to the class day speaker at the City University of New York at their graduation.
In this moment of celebrating who we are, I want to celebrate CUNY Law as one of the few, if not the only law school, to make a public statement defending the right of its students to organize and speak out against Israeli settler colonialism. That this is the law school that passed and endorsed BDS on a student and faculty level. Recognizing that absent a critical imperialism settler colonialism lens, our work and this school's mission statement is void of value. That as Israel continues to indiscriminately rain bullets and bombs on worshipers, murdering the old, the young, attacking even funerals and graveyards, as it encourages lynch mobs to target Palestinian homes and businesses, as it imprisons its children, as it continues its project of settler colonialism, expelling Palestinians from their homes, carrying the ongoing Nakba, that our silence is no longer acceptable. We are the student body and faculty that fought back when investor-focused admin attempted to cross the BDS picket line, saying loud and clear that Palestine can no longer be the exception to our pursuit of justice, that our morality will not be purchased by investors. We are the class that fought for incarcerated clients and zealously filed for their clemency applications with nearly zero institutional support. We are the class that fought for clients to get asylum, that went to court to reunite families torn apart by ACS and the family surveillance. We are the class that organized against using Lexis, a legal research company contracted with ICE. And we did all of this in spite of the racism, in spite of the selective activism, the self-serving interests of CUNY Central, an institution that continues to fail us, that continues to train and cooperate with the fascist NYPD, the military, that continues to train IDF soldiers to carry out that same violence globally. A larger institution committed to its donors, not to its students.
I mean, this is a big day on campus. You can hear the law students cheering this. What worries me is the fact these are going to be the lawyers of tomorrow.
Well, and the vicious racism, the anti-Semitism that she's spewing, what she's saying about Israel are blatant lies, that they indiscriminately rain bullets down on people who are worshiping and imprison children, and they kill the young and old alike. That's just a wild lie. And in fact, they target terrorists. They target people who are murdering innocent civilians. The people who indiscriminately murder civilians are the Palestinian terrorists, the Hamas and Hezbollah terrorists, that this speaker is celebrating. By the way, she made reference to Nakba. Nakba is the phrase that is used for, quote, the Palestinian catastrophe, which is another phrase for the founding of the modern state of Israel. She is decrying the fact that Israel exists because, you know, there are Muslim nations throughout the Middle East, but she is offended that how dare there be one nation on earth, a Jewish state, one nation that exists that is the state of Israel. This speech is so radical. It is so filled with hate. It's advocating BDS, which is boycott, divestiture, and sanctions, which is anti-Semitic and targeting the state of Israel. If you were a Jewish student listening to this cheering, listening to these lies, how would you feel graduating from this university? And by the way, this university is paid for with taxpayer funds from New York. She also attacks anyone who works with ICE because apparently the United States cannot enforce our immigration laws at all. And she calls the NYPD fascist. Mind you, this is the City University of New York. Presumably, some of these graduates of the law school are going to go work in the criminal justice system in New York. And these cheering Marxists believe that being a police officer means you're a fascist. I got to say, you want an indictment of how lost so many of our schools are. Their willingness to revel in lies, anti-Semitism, and radicalism, that really shows you where they're coming from.
And again, this comes back to a funding issue. You mentioned this in your tweet, paid with tax dollars. This is a law school paid with tax dollars. Democrats have no problem spending our money this way. When are conservatives going to be able to wake up and pull and realize that these purse strings and our tax dollars are being used to indoctrinate this type of bigotry and anti-Semitism enthusiastically with an audience cheering?
Well, and listen, that's one of the reasons why Lee Zeldin, the former congressman from New York who ran for governor in New York and came close but didn't win. And Lee is a good friend. Lee's someone who I backed and campaigned for when he first ran for Congress. Lee tweeted this portion of the speech out, and what he said was, quote, "Raging anti-Semitism has fully consumed the City University of New York. Until the administration is overhauled and all Jewish students and faculty are welcome again, taxpayer funding must be immediately halted." And when you have a place that becomes a vicious cesspool of racism and indoctrination, that's no longer carrying out an educational mission. That is instead performing the very same mission of indoctrination, which look, there's a link between all three of these stories in this podcast today, whether it is DHS funding indoctrination, saying if you're a Republican, if you listen to Fox News, you're connected to the Nazis, whether it's debate judges saying if you dare defend America or capitalism, you must lose, or whether it is the vicious lies coming at the City University of New York law school graduation. All three are examples of how the hard left weaponizes money to indoctrinate, to intimidate, and to silence and attack their opponents.
Yeah, and this goes straight into our last little tidbit here. If you are a fan of Monty Python, it's something that I loved watching in high school. We used to have watch parties at my friend's house. absolutely hysterical. We now have a scene that's been banned. We got to go back and apparently just ban everything now that we don't like that happened in the past. I want to play that scene for everybody so you can hear what they've decided is just too much and it's got to go. But before we get to that, let me tell you about Augusta Precious Metals. If you have been saving for your retirement and you are sick and tired of the stress of seeing what's happening in the marketplace, you're seeing what's happening with bank failures, you're seeing what's happening with interest rates more than doubling, and you realize that there is no time to make up big losses, then you need to check out Augusta Precious Metals and see what they can actually do for you. If you have saved $100,000 plus for retirement, Augusta is actually going to sit down with you and talk to you about your retirement, your IRA, your 401k, and if you learn about a gold IRA, then how it can help protect you. They also, when you open an account, you can get free gold. Yes, a pure gold coin for free. Reach out to Augusta Precious Metals today. It's the company that I use and I trust, and get started with gold. Don't let the bank failures get you down. Get the free gold and get some peace of mind so you can protect your hard-earned dollars. Call them. You'll also get to do a web conference one-on-one with their expert, and you'll get the free guide on gold just by calling them. 877 the number 4 gold IRA. 877 the number 4 gold IRA to learn how to protect your retirement and get your free gold coin. That's AugustaPreciousMetals.com. 877 the number 4 gold IRA. Senator, you and I both love and I want you to explain, if people have never seen Monty Python and what it is, explain it for people before we play this.
Well, this is from the terrific movie Life of Brian, and to give a little bit of background, Life of Brian is a very funny comedy, and they're in the process now of putting together a theatrical presentation of Life of Brian. So basically taking it off the movie screen and doing it on stage. And this is, we're closing the podcast with a bit of good news, which is that as they were putting it on stage, there was enormous pressure to cut one scene from the movie, from the stage protection. And that was the scene where they refer to the obvious fact that men can't have babies. And so John Cleese, who's one of the founders of Monty Python and is an extremely funny man, John Cleese pointed out that the actors, as they were going through the stage presentation, the actors pressed hard to cut the scene. And several of the actors, he said, were Tony winners. And they said, no, you can't say this, you can't say this. And John Cleese, to his credit, said, I, of course, have no intention of doing so. Look, John Cleese and I come from very different places in the political spectrum. He is left of center. I am not. But to his credit, he believes in, number one, reality, and number two, comedy. And it shows real courage that he says, no, we're not going to cut the scene. And basically all of you people insisting that I do, I'm paraphrasing here, can piss off. And let's listen to the scene that virtually every actor in the stage presentation said, we must cut because these words are too terrifying to hear in the modern world.
Why are you always on about women, Stan? I want to be one. What? I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
Well, why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies!
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother, sister.
I mean, Senator, you hear that, and it's just so frustrating because it's a great bit. And yet people are like, oh, I'm offended by it. It's also completely in reality and also mocking. I think what they saw were going to be coming down the pipe is that people actually would want to believe this type of crap. And yet here we are. They're saying, oh, I won't do it. I won't touch it. And look, I'm glad that there's a victory on this one. Thank goodness.
Yeah, shout out to John Cleese for having the courage to defend his art and defend his comedy. If we have the hard left treating comedy like they treat college debate, saying you may only say what our doctrine insists, comedy will cease to be funny. And look, I enjoy comedy that makes fun of both sides of the aisle. I'm perfectly capable of laughing at Republicans. I think there's a lot to mock on every place in the political aisle. But if it gets just sanitized and drained of all life, then comedy will lose what makes it special. And John Cleese, at least, is holding the line. Bravo.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Also want to remind all of you, we do our show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure you hit the subscribe, the auto download, or if you're on Apple, the follow button wherever you're listening to this podcast. So you get this podcast each and every day that we publish. The other thing is when there is big breaking news, we will do special pods as well. You don't want to miss those. So hit that follow button or the like, subscribe button so you get the show each and every day. Write us a 5-star review as well. It'll help us reach more people. And we will see you back here in a couple of days.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.